Good morning, everyone. A very special welcome to St. Benedict's. We're so happy that you're here. And if you're visiting us today for the first time, we hope you feel at home among us. We're so happy to have you. Someone decided to say a prayer, and it went something like this. So far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy or grumpy or nasty or selfish or critical or even overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot of help. So thank you, God. Amen. Jesus prayed. In today's gospel, the 17th chapter of John, we see Jesus praying. And Jesus was not just praying for himself. Jesus was praying for those who were closest to him. And I think all of us can relate to that, because oftentimes when we pray for those who are closest to us. Our family members, the people we care most about, the people we want to be well. And that's what Jesus does in today's gospel. He prays for his disciples. The whole gospel passage is one long prayer. Jesus prayed. And there's something about prayer that's very important. Because oftentimes we think praying is saying a bunch of words to God. But there's a very important element to prayer. Praying is very much listening to God. Being able to be still and being in the presence of God and doing everything that we can to listen to what God is saying. Because unless we listen to God, we're really, really technically not praying. Communication is two ways, isn't it? Don't you love it when you have a loved one or a family member or a friend that you always have to call them? Can you relate? You always have to call them. They never call you. Has that ever happened to you? That's called one-way communication. After a while, you get burned out. You get tired because communication is both ways. You call people and they call you. Unless there's that two-way communication, then there is no communication. As a matter of fact, you talk to everyone who is any kind of relationship expert, and they'll tell you that in your marriage, in your job, in your relations with every human being and every person, communication is essential. Because communication goes both ways. You've got to be able to speak, and you've got to be able to listen. That's how it works. And prayer is a special kind of communication, because prayer is a communication with God. We pray and we talk to God. But we pray and we listen to God. Now, for those football fans that are here, especially our little deacon over here, you may remember Reggie White. How many of you remember Reggie White? One of the best NFL players of all time. Reggie White, a lot of people don't know this, but he was also an ordained minister. He was an evangelical minister. He wasn't just a great football player. He was also a pastor. And when Reggie White was offered a $17 million contract by the Green Bay Packers, he responded to them by saying, "Wait! First, I got to talk to God about it and see what God says." Oh, you can imagine the owners of Green Bay and everything. "What? We're offering you $17 million. We're offering you lots of money. And you got to think about it? You got to talk to God?" Well, you know, they waited a few days, and they weren't very patient. So after a few days, the story goes that Reggie White gets a message on his answering machine. And it was the coach of Green Bay. And the coach said, "Reggie, this is God. I'm calling. Go to Green Bay." Well, the rest is history. He did end up going there, but I'm not sure that it had anything to do with that phone call. But he prayed about it. And sometimes it's hard for us to listen to the voice of God, because it's hard to make sense of what it is exactly that we are listening for. And see, prayer, real prayer, requires discernment. We've got to be able to hear and see if, you know, is this God speaking? Our biggest obstacle in prayer is that we get in the way too much. We sometimes just want to hear from God whatever we want to hear. We sometimes program things because we have created God in our own image and likeness, you know? So God's going to tell me what I want to hear. But that's usually not prayer. I want to go through several examples of prayer in the Bible. The types of prayer sacred scripture speaks to us about, because it really helps us to understand prayer. We understand that prayer is basic in our relationship with the Lord, right? Without prayer, that communication with God just doesn't really happen too much. So we've got to understand how we pray and how that impacts our spiritual lives. And I'm going to start with what I believe to be the least popular one. Prayer of thanksgiving. And why do I say it's the least popular one? Because rarely do we pray to just thank God for everything. Rarely do we get up in the morning and say, "Lord, thank you for this new day, for the nature, for the beauty of the earth, for everything you've given me." Because we're accustomed to praying just to ask. But prayer of thanksgiving is so important. And it's the first kind of prayer we find in the Bible. If you look through the Psalms, if you look through all the scriptures, you're going to find that lifting up our eyes and voices up to heaven and praying in thanksgiving is all over the scriptures. So prayer of thanksgiving is very important, to be able to thank God, just to say thank you, God. Now the second is perhaps the most popular, prayer of supplication. This is especially popular right before a test. "Oh God, help me." Right before any crisis, "Oh God, help me." Right? We don't even have to think about it. When we need something from God, boy, we're there. Front and center, supplication. And we're asking God for something, and that's okay. Supplication is also a very important part of prayer. The third kind is intercessory prayer. And intercessory prayer is very important in the Christian community, because we believe that there's only one intercessor between human beings and God, and that intercessor is Jesus Christ, right? The Word made flesh. Jesus who came among us. And He intercedes for us. But in the prayer community, as a community of the body of Christ, we often intercede for each other. We say, "Pray for me, please." Right? We have a beautiful intercessory prayer group here at St. Benedict's. Every Tuesday morning, you come at 8 o'clock right before the service, and they spend quite a while there praying for all the needs of the community. And they spend a while there praying for each other and praying for all of us, praying for people that are struggling with something physically or spiritually or emotionally. And they spend quite a bit of time just praying for the needs of the entire community. That's intercessory prayer. And it's a very important part of prayer in the Christian community. Now the fourth is what we're doing right now. It's probably at the very core of who we are as Anglicans, as Episcopalians, because it's common prayer, corporate prayer. The church often calls it liturgy. worship, praise. We come together as a community to worship God with a certain rhythm and a certain ritual. Something that's very special to us as a liturgical church family is that we don't just come here and jump up and down and say we love Jesus. We don't, right? We've got a ritual. We've got a rite. We get it out of the prayer book, and in there you see all the rites of the church. They're all there, clearly outlined for you. Sacraments, everything, it's all right here. And it's laid out for us. You can't just kind of make it up. It's all here. What is spontaneous in our worship is that which we bring in our hearts. Everything else is laid out for us. We sing the hymn that is assigned, and we worship God together. We kind of come here and go through the things. But if you think about it, that common worship or that common prayer or that liturgy comes from doing what Jesus did. 2,000 years ago, Jesus gathered his disciples around that table the night before he died. And they gathered, and he took the bread and said, "Take, this is my body. Drink, this is my blood. Do this in memory of me." And so really our ritual or our liturgy is based on the actions of Jesus. And the way those actions have been repeated throughout the centuries by the church. And so common prayer is very important. When we come here, by the way, for worship, when we come here for common prayer, it's really not personal prayer. And that's very important to remember. When we come here, we're coming together to pray with each other as a family, as God's family. You know, when I first came here, and it's happened to me at every parish I've been at in over 20 years, when I first came here, I said to the people, "Hey, before the service, we're all going to greet each other, right?" And some people said, "Oh, Father, that's my time for personal prayer." Wrong. Personal prayer is what you do at home. Personal prayer is what you do in the chapel. Personal prayer is when you find a corner to be by yourself and pray. But this, when we come into here on a Sunday morning, especially for, this is community prayer, common prayer. It's liturgy. It's not time for personal prayer. Sometimes we confuse the two. They're different kinds of prayer. The liturgy is a public worship where we come together to pray as one family. It's not my prayer, your prayer, his prayer, the priest's prayer, the other one's prayer. It's our prayer. It's liturgical common worship. Then there's private prayer, of course. And I hope that in our Christian lives we all find time, as difficult as our lives are, as complicated as our schedules can be, find time for personal prayer. Some people do it in the car as they commute to and from work. Some people do it in the bathroom. One of the quietest places in my house with little kids is the bathroom. Maybe you can relate to that. Sometimes you just need to do it early in the morning or late at night, but you need time for personal prayer because you need time for that personal connection with the Lord. And then there's a special kind of prayer called prayer of consecration. And you see it throughout the Old Testament, and you see it then again in the Christian scriptures in the New Testament, and you really see it in the church. Because as we worship, there's a time where things are put aside for God. You know, when this church was built, and when every church is built, if you look out there, there's a plaque in the front door, and it'll tell you the day that the bishop came to consecrate this building. It means that this building was set aside for prayer. You know, this isn't a restaurant. It's not a pub. It's not a park. It's a sacred building, a sacred place. And so the prayer of consecration the bishop did, he anointed the walls with oil. He anointed this altar for worship so that the table is not just any kind of table, but it is a special sacred space. And the whole place was dedicated through prayers of consecration to God. We do it at every Eucharist. We take a little bread, we take a little wine, and the priest, through the action of the Spirit, says special prayers, and we join with those prayers when we say, "Take and bless these gifts, these creatures of bread and wine, and bless them, make them special. We set them aside for you." All of that is prayer of consecration, setting something aside for God. And the last one is a very important one. Sounds simple, but it
challenges us to think and pray. And it's a prayer of faith. Now you'll say to me, Father, isn't every prayer a prayer of faith? Yeah. But this one goes a step further. Because a prayer of faith is that prayer which is born from the heart. Spiritual writers used to define prayer by saying, it was the lifting of the heart and mind to God. And then other spiritual writers said, no. Let's not talk about lifting anymore. Let's define it by saying the opening of the mind and heart to God. Because when we open our minds and our hearts to God, we become aware of the presence of God. You know, in today's gospel, there was Jesus saying, Father, may they be one as you and I are one. It's a prayer of faith. And if you think about it, the persons of the Trinity, the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are united in this one prayer. And you and I, as people of faith, in some way we penetrate that mystery of the Trinity every time we pray. We become present there in the midst of all that. As you hear Jesus today saying, may they be one, Father, as you and I are one. Think of yourself being in that mystery. To be one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The day you are baptized, and today we're going to baptize a beautiful little girl. And today, as we see that baptism take place, remember this happened to you. This same thing happened to you. We are the community of the baptized. And through baptism, we become part of that mystery. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And every time we pray, we are inserted in some way into that mystery of the Trinity. We become one with the Godhead. We become one with the Trinity. We are there in the midst of that mystery as we pray. We enter into the mystery of God. And we open our minds and our hearts once again to that mystery. So today, in a special way, let us be committed. Let us recommit ourselves to a life of prayer. Let us remember that just as Jesus prayed, you and I must pray. We must be people of prayer. And if we want to be followers of Jesus, let us never forget that we must often open our minds and our hearts to God. Open our hearts and minds to the presence of God. Because that's what we do when we pray. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.